We're going to talk about leprosy and the type that leprosy is. So we know that Jesus cleanses lepers throughout his ministry. And I want to look at two different instances because I think there's a lot to glean from the uniqueness of each of those instances. Jesus, if you look through the Gospels, he never heals someone the same way twice. And I think there's a lot to learn from that. So if you join me in verse 12 of chapter 5 of Luke, I'm actually reading from the New King James Version just because that's my personal Bible, so I apologize if it's a little bit more difficult to follow along. Should be close enough. It says, "And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." So this man who's full of leprosy as we know it now is called Hansen's disease. And in the Bible, leprosy could be a number of different skin disorders, and there's Leviticus 13 talks about how you diagnose a man with leprosy and all that. There's all these rituals that they had to do. But leprosy was seen as a death sentence for these people. And the way Hansen's disease works, or leprosy, as we understand it, it's often used as a type of sin because it attacks the nerves in a person and they start to lose feeling. A lot of people think that like it makes your limbs fall off or it makes this stuff fall off. But actually what it does is that it numbs people so that anytime they get injured, they don't know. And the wound will start to fester and become gangrenous, and the things will start to rot on their body. And that is a very evocative type of sin in our life, because that's what sin does to us. It desensitizes us. Paul says, he refers to the, they've had their conscience seared with a hot iron, and they grow callous to the things that once convicted them, the sins that once, and I personally went through a time in my life when I was working in church and serving the Lord, but I was harboring secret sin, and I grew numb to it. So I didn't necessarily see it was a big deal until God chose to reveal it, because he promises that your sin will find you out. So this man, it says he was full of leprosy. So you can picture that he most likely was missing fingers or toes or the end of his face. Like your nose sometimes would start to rot and stuff like that. And this man had no hope left. You had to stay at least 6 feet away from another person, and you had to announce that you were unclean wherever you were. If you were downwind of somebody, you had to be 150 feet away from them, because they thought that the leprosy would spread airborne. So this man probably had a family, probably had a place in the synagogue until this happened. And the people of this time understood leprosy to be judgment from the Lord. It was called the touch of God, or something to that effect. So they were like, this man did something. We don't know what it was, but God found it so serious that he would punish this man in this way. So this guy has no hope, and he comes to Jesus. And at this point, as far as we know, Jesus hadn't cleansed any lepers. So this guy isn't using the testimony of other people who had been cleansed of leprosy to come to Jesus, but he hoped and he prayed that the fact that this man was demonstrating the characteristics of the Messiah, that he would take pity on him. And what's amazing about this is that he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He doesn't doubt that he can. He wants to know, are you willing? Because, like I said, he thinks that God is unhappy with him. He thinks that God is judging him for his sin. Now, leprosy is the result of sin, because we're all fallen and sin entered the world through Adam, and death and decay all the way back from that first sin. But we don't know this man's moral state in this condition. But he knew how holy Jesus was, that he said, you know, if you are willing, make me clean. And Jesus responds in such a cool way, because he touches him first. It says, and then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Not only did that show to the men around him that he was holy and could not be tainted by sin or the decay or the disease of this world, but that he was willing to reach into people's lives and pull them out of that life. The fact that he put his hand, this guy may not have been touched for decades by another human being. And the fact that Jesus said, I am willing to be cleansed, says the immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded them. And we'll look at what Moses commanded in Leviticus 14 at the end. So we have this instance of someone being healed, cleansed. And we know, probably a lot of people growing up in church, you hear those radical transformation stories, right? Where someone is, you know, they're cheating on their wives, they're drinking, they're snorting coke, they're doing all these things, they're gambling, and they have a radical encounter with Jesus, like a Paul on Damascus Road type of, God just meets them, and immediately they're flushing the alcohol down the toilet. I used to be a part of a church plant, and there was a guy who, like, lived in one of these, like, long-term rental hotels, was just a mess. Just, he's in his 60s, and completely alcoholic, had barely any teeth left, and our church had a Christmas Day meal, and he got saved there, and immediately he went home, poured all his alcohol down, poured all his drugs down the toilet, and flushed it, and he never touched it again. But it was amazing, right? You hear that story, and you're just like, oh, man. And that's what I feel like this is. And for someone like me, I grew up in the church. I didn't have that type of radical come to Jesus moment. So I felt like the fact that I was dealing with sin, and I'm like, why am I not having this like victory? You know, why am I not experiencing this like radical lack of desire for this sinful temptation or what have you? And then God showed me Luke 17, which is another encounter that Jesus has with the lepers. It's in Luke 17, 11. And I don't know if you guys are like me. I might be someone who just compares myself to other people all the time. Maybe you guys never struggle with that. But it's very tempting. I don't know if it's a guy thing or what, but I feel like we're always like looking and kind of measuring ourselves against somebody else's experience. And sometimes we can emphasize experience, personal experience over the written word of God. To the exclusion of the word of God. So I will look at people and I'll be like, this person, you know, they didn't grow up in church. They didn't have any of this like Bible knowledge that I have, yet I'm struggling with this habitual sin. And this person is like,
they're killing it.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, well, this isn't fair. It doesn't feel fair, right? Because you're like, why is this such a struggle for me? But it doesn't seem like they're struggling at all. So in Luke 17, verse 11, it says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. I'll just take a moment to point out that these are 10 lepers, not one. I'll talk about that in a second. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So the fact that there are 10 of these, and I'm going to read into some of this just based on how I understood the text and how it spoke to me, was it's interesting that there are more people in this scenario and the way Jesus handles this scenario, because I often think that I'm the only one that's dealing with this, right? So I look at these radical transformations, and those are the things that stick out in my mind. But as I've come to learn and understand, those are just what I said they are. They're radical. Those are not the common stories of the way God works sanctification in all of us. He chooses to use those experiences for those people because he works with everybody in different ways. Just like I said at the beginning, he heals every person, even if it's the same ailment, a blind man. You know, there's the story of him spitting in the dirt and rubbing the dirt on the guy's eyes and telling him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And then there's other blind people that he heals that he doesn't do that. And then he heals lame men. He heals, but it's always a different way. And I think that's important because I think there's no one prescription. You know, we have a lot of people who think like they have like the gift of healing, and they're like, this is what you have to do. You have to do this, this, and this, and we're going to write a book about it, and it's going to be the 7 ways to a healthier Christian life or whatever. It's always a prescription instead of pointing people back to the healer. And I think Jesus is very intentional about that because he doesn't want people to think there's this magical way, that it's like, it's always about the encounter with him. That is the most, that's the only constant, is that the person had an encounter with Jesus. How he heals them is different. And with this one, there's 10 lepers. So it's actually, you could argue that the majority of people who are cleansed of leprosy in the testimony of Jesus here that we get the specifics, the majority are cleansed this way. That doesn't mean that that's how it's going to be for everybody, but I took this as a comfort because the way he heals them, it says, when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And I just wrote a little note in my Bible. We always want God to fix our problems with sin without any faith steps on our own. Sometimes God says to us to start walking and see what happens. And I was like, I was so caught by this when it first hit me years and years ago, is that he doesn't go to them and say, I'm willing to cleanse you. Let me touch you. I know you haven't been touched in a long time. Let me show compassion to you. Let me watch you change right before my eyes. Let me show to all these guys around me what I can do. He doesn't do that. He says, go and show yourselves to the priest. And they're still lepers. And I'm like, that's really interesting. The reason it's interesting is because it says, and so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now that blows my mind, because what did that look like? As they're walking, are fingers reappearing on their hands? Are they watching their skin turn into like newborn baby skin? You know, like they're not, are they looking at each other and going like, hey, your nose is back. You know, like this is something. And then my silly mind is like, well, if they started to go backwards, would it reverse? You know, like, is it as they went? And if they turned around, it would have stopped? I don't know. But the process of walking in obedience to the Lord is what was cleansing them. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I'm getting like emotional thinking about it because I feel like God said when I read this, don't worry about what I do with other people. You follow me. And it was just like a rocket. Like it made me understand. And there's a similar scenario when Jesus says, or Peter, when he tells Peter that he's going to have to die for Jesus as well. There's the scenario there. And he's like, are you willing to take this? And then it says that as they were walking, he pointed back at John and said, well, what about him? Like, what's he going to have to go through? And Jesus said, whether that guy lives until I come or not, you follow me. And it was just like such an encouragement from the Lord. It could have been seen as like a rebuke. Like, what are you doing worrying about what I do with him? I told you to do something and I want you to follow me. It didn't feel like that. It didn't feel like a slap or like a cudgel or anything like that. It felt like the Lord saying, you have the ability, you have the victory, you need to walk in it. And it was just such an encouraging thing. And I hope for any of you out there that feel that way, do you feel like you're kind of going through that cycle, that spinning, like your wheels, you're just like, man, why do I keep, what is this? Like, why is this life, it's supposed to be victorious Christian life. It's supposed to be fruitful. And I just feel like I'm kind of like the same. I just happen to go to church now. You know what I mean? Like, I want that thing that just makes me like on fire. And Jesus may be saying to you, you already have it. You're just not walking according to it. And it, John, I think it's in 1 John, it says that, let me, I don't want to misquote it, let me just read it real quick. I think it's 1 John 2:6. Is there a clock? I should make sure. Okay, it says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. And then there's another verse that says, like, as you believed in him, so walk in him. So we believe by faith, so we ought to walk in faith that he who began the good work is faithful to complete it. We're acting in a way according to a truth that's already been revealed to us, which he died on the cross, our sins were paid for. He rose from the dead, showing victory over that sin. And it says that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now alive in our mortal bodies. So am I submitting to this every day? Absolutely not. But that doesn't make it any less true. So it's a reminder that it says that as they went, they were cleansed. And I just find it really cool because I like to tie in the Old Testament here. Leviticus 14. And we'll just talk about this leprosy idea. Because I think there's a lot of types in the Old Testament that just, I don't know, for a brain like mine, an artistic mind like mine, the symbolism I find really cool. So, there's a story, if you guys know, when John the Baptist, he's in prison and he's doubting that Jesus is actually the Messiah that was promised. And he sends disciples to him and says, are you the one we were looking for, or do we seek another? And then Jesus like heals all these people. And then when they're like, well, and he says, you go tell John the things that you've seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the poor have the good news preached to them. And Jesus was saying that the act of him cleansing lepers was a sign that he was the Messiah. And for these priests that were now in the religious system in the New Testament that Jesus was now kind of upending, for them, they had never seen, as according to Scripture, they had never seen someone cleansed of leprosy. There are only a couple times in Scripture where someone gets leprosy and is cleansed, and it's always the Lord doing it. We have Moses gets his hand turned into leprous, and then he takes his hand out of his cloak and it becomes whole again when God is sending him to Pharaoh. When Miriam rebels against Moses, she turns leprous and they put her out of the camp for 7 days. Naaman the Syrian, he's not even a Jew. He is a leper, and Elijah, I always get him confused, sends him and says, go dunk yourself 7 times in the river to be cleansed. So he's a Gentile. And then we have examples of people being struck with leprosy, like Uzziah, when he does something that he's not supposed to do as the king. He takes the job of a priest upon himself, and he gets struck with leprosy for the rest of his life. We never see examples where the priests enact the cleansing ritual of leprosy. So I find it interesting, because I wonder if these priests, these lepers, when Jesus said, go to the priests and show yourself so that they can cleanse you according to the ritual, did they have to dust off Leviticus 14? Because they had never had to do it before. And it was a testimony to them and the love of God being revealed to them that the one you've been waiting for and you've been teaching people to look for is here. And they refused to accept it, which is sad. But it's also a testimony, because I just want to read to you what the priest did to cleanse lepers in Leviticus 14. And if you have a hard time with the Old Testament, hopefully this will inspire you to kind of dig into it a little bit, because it definitely inspires me when I hear things like this, when they're put in context. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed 2 living and clean birds, cedarwood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let, this is crazy, shall let the living bird loose in the open field. This living bird that another bird was killed, and this living bird was dipped in the blood of the sacrificial bird and then set free. That's an incredible picture of what Jesus did for us. And it says, he who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, wash himself in water, that he be clean. And I'll skip down a little bit. And it talks about the sacrifice that would need to be made. But what's really interesting is it says, the priest shall take 1 male lamb, in verse 12, and offer it as a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them as a wave offering. Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering. Another interesting sentence. And the burnt offering in a holy place, for as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is the most holy. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it onto the palm of his own left hand, and the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle some of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord. And then he puts it upon the blood on the guy's right ear, his right thumb, and his right big toe. And I don't have to spell it out, I don't think, but we see these pictures not only of birds, one dying, the other living, and being dipped in the blood of the sacrificial bird. We also see cedar wood, which is a type of the cross. We see scarlet, which obviously is a dark red, But when Jesus was offered, they took his clothes off him and they put a scarlet robe on him, mocking him. Hyssop. Every time we see hyssop in the Bible, it's talking about cleansing. Hyssop is what they used to put the blood on the doorposts at the Passover. Hyssop is what David says in the Psalms, purge me with hyssop so that I can be white as snow. And the fact that it says that the one bird that was killed in an earthen vessel, it's really interesting because birds are, you know, beasts of the heavens, as they say. So it's a heavenly creature coming down and being killed in an earthen vessel. And that's a type of Jesus being God coming down and taking on the likeness of sinful men. And the fact that the man, when he is cleansed, is sprinkled with that blood. And then he gets it on his right ear, his right thumb, and his right big toe. It's the exact same thing that was done to the priests in Leviticus 8 when Aaron and his sons were consecrated to be the priests. They put the blood on their right ear, their right thumb, and on their right big toe. But they didn't get oil on them. They didn't get the oil on the ear, the right thumb, and the right big toe. So God is doing something here with this leprous man that's been cleansed to show him, you're a priest now. And then it says that they poured the oil on his head, which is what Samuel did to David when he was anointed king. It's what he did to Saul when he was anointed king. So there's a type here where he's saying, you're kings and priests when you're cleansed. And to wrap all of that up, I just want to encourage you guys. The fact that your life may not look the way you know it should, don't let yourself be deterred. Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't allow the enemy to use that as an excuse for you to continue to live that way. Well, like, yeah, look at that guy. He's living a great life. Guess that's not for you. You know what I mean? Like, we hear those lies and we hear all of that. And I hear that and I struggle with that. Think instead of what Jesus is saying to us when he's saying, go and show yourselves. And then as we go, as we obey the Lord, when he tells us, you know, to love one another, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Those commands that he gives us. That as we follow, and as we do the things that the steps that he has ordained us to do, we will be cleansed. It's a process. God is sanctifying us as we go. And I hope that encourages you guys. I hope that you don't grow weary when the enemy is trying to remind you of the leprosy, of the deadness, of the old life. That you would be motivated to show yourselves the way God sees you, the way God has made you to be because of his son. So why don't I pray over you guys. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you would bless these men. Lord, we need godly men to live out their identity in the church. I thank you for the opportunity to share. I often wonder if there was another way that you could have allowed me to share with people that I didn't have to go through these experiences myself. That if I could have audited the course rather than having to go through it myself. But Lord, thank you for taking the things and restoring the years that the locust has eaten. Thank you for using what the enemy meant for evil, for good in my life and for the lives of others. And I pray that you would go before these men, that they would walk according to the steps that you've laid out for them, and that they would surrender to your commands, and that their life would be a reflection of that. In Jesus' name, amen.